The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Ketubot has been dedicated by our dear friend Mr. Elliot Shasho. Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu. May the zikut of the limud of Masechet Ketubot stand for him that he should have Be'azat Hashem, Hashanah Tovah Mborechet, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, Shalom Bayit V'Hatzlacha Bechol Ma'aseh Yadav. And Be'azat Hashem, may he continue to be a supporter of Torah and all holy projects. Amen. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Uri Nidam, Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu, in honor of all the members of the Minyan, all the members of the Daf HaYomi, and in honor of the Rabbi, Tiskel Mitzvot, may he continue to succeed. Atzlacha v'arvacha b'chol ma'asi yadav. Amen. Daf Tzadivav. Today's daf is being studied in Ushmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem terichanu began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied for Ashelema Yosef ben Sarah v'Sarah bat Rachel. Inna refan nahem. Inna refan nahem b'toch shal cholei amo Yisrael. Amen. We begin, Zat Hashem, the 11th Perek, Perek HaIsha, Nizonet, and we begin with the first Mishnah. Almana nizonet minichsei yetumim. As we learned earlier in the Masechet, Almana, that's the lady that passes away, she gets mizonot from the estate of the yetumim, from the orphans. Ma'asei yadea shelahen. But her work goes to them. So they support her, I mean, they feed her, and in compensation, she gives them ma'asei yadayim. Ve'en hayavim bikburata. But they are not obligated, that is the Yatomim, to pay for her burial. Why? That she says, Imeta, Share Yorshea Govin Ketubata Mi Yorshea Baal. Which means we learned that what? When the lady dies, the Ketubah goes to her, passes on to her inheritors. And therefore, as a reward, so to speak, that they're getting the Ketubah, the rabbis put it on them to bury the mother. So therefore, Va'alehem Nekobra, Share Baala. תחת כתובתה חיה בקבורתה, עכשיו שאינו יורשה, היא תקבור עצמה. Which means, normally, when she's married and she dies, who has to bury? The husband. Why? Because since the husband inherits the ketubah, if she dies, so the rabbis put on the husband to pay for the kiburah. Similarly now, in the case where the lady dies, which means she was almana, she had the ketubah by her, when she dies, where does her ketubah go? To yorshim. So just like the husband gets ketubah, pays for kevurah, so to yorshim, they're getting the ketubah, they pay for the yorshim. But the yetomim, which means the husband's estate, does not have to pay for the kevurah in such a case. So again, exactly what the Mishnah says. Her inheritors, the inheritors of the ketubah, they are responsible for the burial. Now, comes the Gemara and says, Ibaya lehu, the Gemara has a question on the proper text of our Mishnah. Nizonet tnan, is the proper text of the Mishnah, almana nizonet, like we have it, or han nizonet, or han nizonet. What is the tnan? What is the difference between the two texts? If you have just nizonet or han nizonet. Nizonet tnan, if it just says the word nizonet, uch anshe galil. Like the custom of the people of the Galil, velo sagi delo yehavila, and there's no options, they must give it to her, which means mizonot is a guarantee, that she, and she Galil, hayu kotvin ate yatbat bebeti, they would write in the ketubah, you are going to be living by my family, or my supported, umetzena menechzai kol yemem megar almenutech bebeti, so long as you're still in almana, and you're living by the house, my yetomim are going to pay you mizonot. So it's not negotiable. Which means, almana nizonet. Fact, indefinitely. Nizonet, she gets it. It's nothing to talk about. Why? Because in the ketubah, it's written like the Anshei Galil custom, that the husband obligates the yetomim to pay, so long as she's an almana, she's going to get it. Or do you say, odilma hanizonitnan? That's a lady that is getting mizonot. It's maswa that it's flexible. She's getting it now, but maswa she doesn't have to get it. Tenan uchanche Yehuda, like the people of Yehuda, viibau lo yehavula. And if they want, they have to give it to. Why? What was the custom in Yehuda? That she uchanche Yehuda. Hayu kotvim ad shirsua yorshim niten lich ketubatech. Lefichak imratsua yorshim notim la ketubah fotin ota. In Yehuda, the custom is they used to write in the ketubah.
the Yitumim are going to support you until they pay you the Ketubah. But once they pay you the Ketubah, you're on your own. So therefore, the Din of the Mishnah is Hanizor. I mean, she's still being supported, implying, but what? That the Yitumim at any time can start to support by just paying the Ketubah. According to the first explanation, it's not Hanizor. Even if she pays the Ketubah, they start to support. It's Nizor. She gets paid until she gets married to somebody else. So that's the question of the Gemara. Is it Nizonet, which is under all circumstances until she gets married, or Hanizonet, which means she is getting supported, mashma, that it's in their control to pay off the Ketubah, and then she will not get supported again. So who's the Mishnah really following? Which custom? The custom of Anshe Galil, that she gets paid until she gets married, or Anshe Yehuda, that the Yetumim can pay off the Ketubah, and then she loses the Mizonot. The Gemara says, Tashema Amar Rabbi Zera Amar Shemuel Mitziat Almana Le'atzma. Okay, what does that mean? Let's say an Almana, a widow, she finds a lost object, she gets to keep it to herself. So Gemara says, I Amat Bishlama Hanizonetran. If you're going to say that the Mishnah is learning Hanizonet, which means what? That after she gets paid her Ketubah, she's on her own. Shapir. I understand. She says, since she's not getting Mizonot, she doesn't have to give the lost object to the Yetumim. I can understand that case. But if you're saying that it's Nizonet, which she gets paid under all circumstances, so the Yetumim should be like the husband. Just like when a lady's married, she finds a lost object. Who gets it? The husband, because the husband's giving her Mizonot. So we say what? Give her the mitziah. So to hachaname mitziat isha liyorshim. So the mitziah should go to the yorshim. So the fact that we have a statement that says in the name of Shemuel mitziat almana le'atzma is mashma that it's talking about hanizonet, and the case was talking about where they paid off her ketubah. So technically she's on her own, and therefore she's able to take the mitziah for herself. But if it was talking about nizonet. Nizonet means what? She's getting paid, regardless, until she gets married. So she's getting paid, she's still almana, I mean she didn't get married yet. So she's still getting paid by the estate. Why should she keep it? Just like in the case of a husband. She has to give the lost object, she gives the object to the husband as well. Gemara says, no. Le'olam emalach nizonetran. I can tell you it's nizonet, which means she gets paid mezonot until she gets married. Tama mayamuda bana mitzat isha lebala. What's the reason? When a lady's married, she has to give the lost object to the husband. Because we don't want it to be resentment. We don't want it to cause mahloket. He's going to come along and say, I'm supporting you, and you're giving me, you're not giving me your lost object. You're not giving me this items over here. We're worried that the husband might stop his support, and it's going to be, going to cause mahloket. However, but these yitomim, they got to pay anyway, which means they have no choice over it. The Beit Din is going to force on them. You got to pay the mizonot. So what are we worried about? Well, but if she's going to keep the lost object, it's going to cause strife between them. Let it cause strife. You still got to pay. She's by the husband. We're more concerned when it comes to shalom bayit. And therefore we say, you know what? Lady, give the lost object to the husband. Mashiach, in these cases over, even if you say that they're supporting her indefinitely, still you can say that she keeps the lost object because we're not concerned about the eva. As she says, tevela eva, fourth line, dal kurham zanimota. Finish, they pay her regardless. Aval ma'aseya deha shetiknu lebaala tal mezonot avid yoshim. Okay. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rabbi Yosef bar Hanina, kol melachot sheisha osa lebaala, all the work that a lady does for her husband, like we learned in the previous perakim, that there's certain chores that a lady has to do for her husband, almana osa liyoshim. Wow, the almana has to do all those chores also to the yoshim, to the inheritance of the husband. Chutz, Mimizigata kos, except pouring the wine for him, vatsa'at amita, and setting the, preparing the bed for sleeping, varchasat panav yadav v'naglav, and washing. Because these things are very intimate items. They could lead to kiruv. And therefore, these items are not done to the yorshim. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, kol melachot sha'eved oseh lerabo, all the chores that an eved kenani, for example, would serve his master, Talmid Osei L'Rabbo. a student also should do for his rabbi. Chutz matarat min al, except for untying his shoes. The concern over here is because Eved Kanani does even menial jobs like that, unties the shoe of the master. But if you're going to see a student doing that to the rabbi, they might think he's an Eved Kanani. And what's going to happen? Nobody's going to marry into his family. So therefore, not cause a pegam in the mishpacha. So the student should not untie the rabbi's shoes. That's why you talk about a case where they don't know who the student is. But if they know who the student is, so I'm not worried about it. They're going to think it's Eved Kanani. No. Even if they don't recognize him, it's talking about where the student is not wearing tefillin. But if he's wearing tefillin, it's also no problem. Why? Because everybody knows he's a regular Jew, because Eved Kanani doesn't wear tefillin. So therefore, what? If he's wearing tefillin, the student, no problem to take off his rabbi's shoes. Huh? You can touch the shoes wearing tefillin. Yeah. You can't make berakot, but you can touch shoes wearing tefillin. Amar Rav Chaya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yohanan, kol amoneya talmido, milishamisho. Any rabbi that refrains his student from serving him, kiilu moneya memenu hesed. You're taking hesed away from this one. You're abstaining him from chesed. You're refraining him from doing chesed, which means this is a chut for the Talmid to be mishtamish the rabbi. But again, that's how he learns. That's how he starts to, you know, understands the Torah in action, like an apprenticeship. And if you're stopping the student from having shimush with the Tayagam, you're taking away chesed. What's the proof? Shneimar, we have a pasuk that says in Iyov, Lamas mere'eu hased. Okay? What is lamas mineo hasid? So that she learns over here two interpretations. Lamas mineo, I mean, you're depriving from your friend. When you deprive from your friend, which means that means when the rabbi deprives from the student, lamas mineo, he's depriving from the student. It's as if the pasuk says lamas hasid. You're depriving him from hasid. Like it says lamas twice. Lamas mineo. Lamas chesed. When you abstain your friend, you don't let him mishamish to serve you. Lamas, you took chesed away from him. Another interpretation, as she says, look at she inside. Lamas mineo chesed. Hamemis atzmo mineo, which means memis. He pulls back from his friend. Does not let his friend, his student serve him. Memis mimenu chesedim. You're taking away from him kindness. Some say it's based on the pasuk right before this in the Yov. It says in the pasuk before, "V'tushia nidche mimeni." The student is saying, "Tushia, Torah has been removed from me." Why is the student saying "Tushia nidche mimeni"? Because the rabbi won't let me serve him. "Tushia nidche mimeni." Oh, what's the next pasuk say? "Lamas mireu hasid." That you're taking away Torah from your student by not letting him serve you. You have taken away hasadim from him. Comes the Gemara and says even further now. By the rabbi not allowing the student to serve him, you're causing the student, you're taking away his yirat shamayim. Why? The end of that pasuk says, "Lamas meneo hased v'yirat shaddai ya'azov." It's going to cause him to leave the yirat shamayim. What's the explanation? Because the rabbi that has yirat shamayim, so the yirat shamayim overflows. So when the student gets close to the rabbi, so the yirat shamayim is contagious. And therefore, when the rabbi pushes away the student, does not let him serve him, so you're taking away this ability for the child, for the student to have yirat shamayim. Like the Gemara says in one place that God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Ma Hashem Elohecha shuel mi'imaki im liyirah." God asks, God tells Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the people, listen, at the end of the day, what is God asking from us? God's asking from us just to have Yirat Shamayim. So the Gemara says, what? Atu Yirat Shamayim miltazu treteh? Why is Yirat Shamayim such a small thing when Moshe Rabbeinu is playing it down? Eh, what does God want? He just wants you to have Yirat Shamayim. It's a small thing. So the Gemara says, in the Gabe Moshe miltazu treteh. So he said, yeah, for Moshe Rabbeinu it's a small thing. So all the rabbis asked the question, but Moshe's not talking to himself, he's talking to Klai Yisrael. So if it's easy for him, it's not easy for them. What does it mean? So I heard one interpretation that says, "In yes, legabe Moshe, to those people that are in the proximity of Moshe, legabe Moshe, which means if you're going to stay around Moshe Rabbeinu and he has tremendous yirat shamayim, that yirat shamayim overflows. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu would say, yeah, just stay next to the Tamid HaKamim. And therefore, you know, Torah should be an easy thing. So that's what the Gemara is saying. Somebody that refrains his student from getting close to him, so that's already causing him not to have Yirat Shamayim. Comes the Gemara and continues. Amar Rabbi Elazar. Okay. New cases. Almana she tafsa metaltelin mizonotea. Okay, and Almana, she went and she was tofeset metaltelin. Metaltelin is movables in order to get her mizonot. Even though we learned above that mizonot is really from karka, she could only get it from karka. But now she didn't take it from the karka; she took it from the metaltelin. So what's the din? Mas she tafsa, tafsa. She took it. She took it. Soz. Tanya Namiachim, we're obliged to support this almana, she tafsa metaltelin bemizonoteha, ma she tafsa, tafsa, she took it, she took it. Vechen ki ata Rav Dimi amar, ma'ase bechalato she Rabbi Shabbatai. There was a story with the daughter-in-law of Rabbi Shabbatai, she tafsa diskiya mele'a ma'ot. She took a basket filled with ma'ot, with money. Velo haya koach biyad hakamim nehosi miyada. And the rabbis couldn't take it out of him. She took it from mizonot, and even though you're not supposed to take metaltelin, it really is on the karka. She took it. The rabbi said, "That's it. We can't take it out of your hand." Amar avina velo amaran ela lemizoneh. This din that we're saying is what is only the gabe mizonot. Ava lechtuba. But when she comes and takes metaltelin for a ketuba. Nafkinan mine, then we take it out. It's ketubah dafka on karka, and she cannot even be tofes from metatli. Matkif la'amor baravashe, maishena ketubah de mekarkae, velo mimetaltele, mezonot, nami mekarkae, velo mimetaltele. What should be the difference? Which means both these items, the ketaila, are on karka. So if you tell me she could take mezonot, but the avar, if she was tofes, it's tofes. The karaba ketubah, if she took it from the metatli, she should also be tofes it. Maishena, what should be the difference? Ela le mezone maide tafsa tafsa. Just like by mezonot, you're saying whatever she took. Hakana melech tuba. So too, by ketuba as well. Whatever she was tofeset, tofeset. Amar Rav Yitzchak ben Naftali Ravina. Achi amrina mishemed Rabba kevatech. Says, you know what they said, like you in the name of Rabba, that there's no difference between a ketuba and mezonot. Both if she's tofeset from metaltelin, whatever she took. Amar Rav Yohanan mishemed Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra. Almana sheshahata shtayim v'shalosh shanim v'lo tav'a mezonot. What happened? She was almana for 2 or 3 years. She did not ask for mezonot. What's the din? Ibda mezonot. She loses her claim to mezonot, meaning she cannot come for back pay. She cannot come along and say, oh, listen, by the way, you know, you owe me 2 years or 3 years of back mezonot. Why? So Gemara says, hashta shtayim ibda shalosh mebaya. Well, if you told me after she's silent for 2 years, she loses it. You have to tell me 3 years? You told me 2 or 3 years if she's silent. But die. She's silent for 2 years, because she can. 3 years. Gemara says, lakasha. No question. Kan ba'aniya, kan ba'ashira. There's no difference between ani and ashir. What's the difference between ani and ashir? Ashir. Ashira, haykhola biyada lamtin. A rich lady can wait longer. She's able to. What's the matter? We skipped the line. Amar Rabbi Yohanan b'shem Rabbi Yosef ben Zimra, almana sheshahata shtayim v'shalosh shanim v'lo tav'a mezonot. She was silent for 2 or 3 years. She didn't tov'a mezonot. Evda mezonot. She lost the mezonot. Hashtayim evda. If you're telling me that 2 years, if she's silent, she loses the mezonot. Shalosh mebaya. It's 3. You have to tell me. Lakasha kam ba'aliya kam ba'ashira. Which means a rich lady can afford to be quiet for 3 years because she's wealthy. She can support herself in interim. So therefore, for the rich lady, the silence is for 3 years. But for a poor lady, she can't live that long without any food. So therefore, even if she's silent for 2 years, she loses the back pay. So the 2 is talking about an aniya, and the 3 is talking about Ashira iname, or another interpretation, kan bifrusa, kan bitsnua. Depends. Once a pirutsa, she's immodest, like, and once a tsnua. What's the difference? That she says tsnua, boshana bole betin. Hilkak, bishte shanim lo mahalale. Which means to get her mizonot, she gotta go to betin. She's embarrassed to go to betin to be tovaya mizonot. So therefore, for her, we give her 3 years. But for a pirutza, who's not embarrassed, say, where were you for, after 2 years already? We give her, she loses her mizonot retroactively. It depends what type of nature the girl is. If she's a tsinua, we give her 3 years. But if she was quiet up to 3 years, she can get back pay. Because we saw she was embarrassed to come to the beti to be tovah. But if she's a pirutza, we say, where were you after 2 years? Finished. You lose your ketubah, you lose your mizonot back. Comes to Gebran says, Amar Abba, lo Amran Eda Lemafreya. We said, this is only talking about retroactive. Aval lehaba, yes, but going forward, she still gets, as she says, el mafre otan shtei shanim she'avdu. She'avru, if that, the 2 years that passed, she loses. Okay, comes again as the Ba'ai Rabbi Yohanan. Yetumim omrim natananu. The Yetumim come along and say, we forwarded her, we gave her in advance, tabiz on old for the coming year. We paid her already. We gave her $10,000 in the beginning of the year to cover her mizonot. V'yomeret lo natalti. She comes along and says, I didn't get anything. So the question is, no, she's saying, I didn't get it. So the question is, who's the burden of proof on? Al mi lavi ra'ayah. Which one has to bring the ra'ayah? Which is the burden of proof on the yetomim that they paid? Or is it on the almana that she got paid? So comes again, and says, nichse b'chizkat yetme kaimeh. Do you say that the nechasim are really by the yetomim? Because we have a regular law. So you say, when the father died, who got the nechasim? The yetomim. So we're holding the nechasim. We're saying we paid you. You're saying you didn't get paid. Okay. Make a shivua, and the burden of proof is on the lady. Or maybe I'll tell you that the lady has like a lien on this property. When the husband died, it's by her because the yitumim owe her mezonot, and therefore vali yitumim la viraya. Maybe the burden of proof is on the yitumim, as she says. Look at the first line. That's the first side. The yitumim are holding it. Vehi abotziamim. Right, she's bringing, taking it from them. Vahalei lavi edim. She will do yitumim for them. Bring edim that testified that they heard in front of the yitumim that they admitted that they did not pay. She lo kibla because the man shelo tavi edim lo tigbe. As long as she cannot bring edim, she will not be able to pay. Be'alizkat amalai kabe sharein ishtab bedu b'tanai betin. And she's saying that there's a tanai betin. It's automatic, by the way. When a husband dies, betin will enforce what? That they have to pay mezunot. So therefore, it's like it's by her already. Tanai betin is a very strong concept. The betin is going to enforce it. Therefore, it's by her. She's coming, I didn't get paid yet. You're saying you paid her? So, bring proofs, witnesses the other way. So comes the Gemara and says, Tashema, we have a braita. Netani Devi, Almana, Kozeman Shelo Niseit Almana. So long as she didn't get married, Ali Yetomim Lehavi Ra'aya. Oh, it's on the Yetomim, which means really she's considered the Mahzik. Niseit. But once she gets married, Aleha Lehavi Ra'aya. Once she gets married now, because the assets they don't have to be given mizunot anymore. She wants to get back pay. So what happens? Once she gets married, she's not the Mahzik anymore, because really the money now goes back to the Yetumim. After marriage, now it's on the lady to bring a ra'ya that she's not going to pay. Look at that. She in the set, third line. She's coming to take the mizunot from the years that passed.
So the Gemara continues. Tashema detani Levi. Levi learned to the blighter. Almana, you have a case of Almana Kozeman, Chelonisit. So long as she didn't get married yet, Ale Yetomim Lehavir Ayah. Nisit Aleha Lehavir Ayah. So the Gemara wants to make a Hiluk between whether she got married yet or not. Until she gets married, we consider the money by her. And therefore, the ra'ayah has to be brought by the yetomim. But once she gets married already, so now she doesn't get mizonot anymore, she doesn't get any payments from the yetomim, the money goes back to the yetomim when she gets remarried. So therefore, in that case over there, the deen is, it's on her to bring a ra'ayah. So therefore, it depends what state we're talking about. Before marriage, it's hers. Alehem lehavi ra'ayah. After marriage, it goes back to the yetomim, and therefore, it is on her to bring it out. Yeah, comes the Gemara and says, what are you talking about? Shimi bar asheh ketanae. Actually, this should be a subject to a mahloket amongst the tanaim. Mocheret vekotevet, elu limzonot macharti, veelu lichtubam macharti. Which means a widow, she could sell, let's say, the property from her husband's estate in order to pay for her ketubah. She wants to get paid out. So she can go and sell the estate, or she can go sell the estate in order to give herself mizonot. So it says when she does that, she should write on the shtar exactly what she's selling the property for. She should say, Elu the mizonot machati. You have to know. This over here I'm selling in order to get my mizonot. The Elu the ketubot machati. Ketuba machati. Here I'm just selling this property in order to get paid out for my ketuba. That's what see Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Mocheret vechotevet setam. Rabbi Yosef comes along and says, nah, just write stam, I'm selling the property. We don't have to delineate if I'm selling it for the ketubah or I'm selling it for the mezonot. So that's Gemara is going to explain what the root of this machloket is. My la beha kemepalge. Must be at the root of the machloket. Rabbi Yehuda damar bai leferushe. Chotebi, that says what you have to be explicit to write exactly what you're selling it for. Savarios nechse behazkat yetme kaime. That the yetomim really are the muhzak by the possessions. Va'al almana leaviraya. And therefore it's incumbent upon the almana to bring a proof. Let's just continue reading. Rabbi Yosef Sabar. Rabbi Yosef says, no. Lo ba'ayla ferushe. You don't have to be explicit when she's selling. Nechse be'azkat almana kaime. On the contrary, the nechasim are by the almana. Ba'ali yitumim la'vi ra'ayana. How is this machloket shown? How do we see this machloket based on what they said? So let's read Lashi. Lashi says, let's start from the fifth line. V'chotevet elu mizonot b'shtarot ha-mechira shehi kotevet l'lekuchot. When she's selling the property, she writes, kotevet et ha-mechir l'mizonot. She writes, I'm selling this for mizonot. U'shehi mocheret l'gabe ketubah, to get paid for the ketubah, tefalesh b'tokha shtar l'ketubah makharti. Good. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. V'kach kocha yafeh. And the Gemara is going to explain exactly what that language was. That was the end of the language of Rabbi Yosef. That her strength is good. The kach koha yafeh. We'll see exactly what that means. Comes Gemara Kadeshi. My la bakam pelige Rabbi Yehuda daban ha perush yafeh la. Which he says, why? Well, she's got to explain it. It's her benefit to explain exactly what she's buying it for. Because he holds that what the nechasim are really by the yetomim. If she's not going to be explicit, what's going to end up happening? Now she's going to come along and say, hey, I want my ketubah, please. And say, hey, you got your ketubah already. You sold your this property over here, and you took it for the ketubah. Viki, what's ketubatech? Alright, so then they pay me for mezonot, which means you didn't pay me for the sustenance. Which means we paid you metaltin tamid mezonotech v'hem ne'emanim. Which means she's unprotected if she's not going to be explicit what she sold it for. Because since the advantage is to the yetomim, according to the Yehuda, since the hazakah is given to the yetomim that they own the money, what's going to happen if she doesn't go explicit? What's going to happen if she doesn't write this down explicitly? Let's speak it out. She's going to come along and she's going to tell the husband, I'll tell you, I want my ketubah, please. Anyway, you got your ketubah already. What are you talking about? I got my ketubah. Yeah, didn't you sell one of the properties and take that money? That money was for the ketubah. She can't prove it. The document is stam. She said, okay, fine, I got the ketubah. She said, do me a favor, pay me my mizonot. Mizonot, we paid you mizonot already.
When'd
you pay me the mizonot? I paid you already. She said, I didn't get paid. All right, bring it either. Burn the proof is on you. So now already she's going to be in a position where she's going to have to bring the ayot. But if she wrote it clearly, so then already she's protected. So you see from the fact that the Yehuda says you have to write it clearly, that shows if she doesn't, she can lose her mizonot because the claim is going to be on the advantage of the
yetomim.
So you see that's why you have to be explicit to protect herself. That's that shita. Next Rashi. Rabbi Yosef Sabar, nechse behazkat almana kaimeh. He says, nah, listen, she's got nothing to worry about the mizonot. It's by her, which means the advantage goes to her. They have to bring it out, yeah? That they paid her. Therefore, it's more advantageous for her just to write the shtar when she's selling property of the husband, the late husband. Let her write the shtar blank. Don't let her say explicitly what she's selling it for. Why? It's better that way. Why? V'hi tahzik behem netzorek mezonoteha. She'll sell the property. What will she use the money for? Mezonot. Sustenance. Uchtubata.
and she'll use it for the ketubah as well, whatever she wants to use it for.
Va'alehem la'vi ra'ya.
Now you want to come along and say that you paid a mizorot already? Okay, you bring it ra'ya now, yetumim.
Lefichach hastam yafela.
Better to write it blank.
Why? Mepnei likuhot shelak husadot mebala she'im yichlu.
If let's say all the yitomim's money gets used up already, okay? Tachshov kol ma shemachra mizonot. We'll consider everything that she ate mizonot, and then she'd be able to collect the ketubah from the kuhot.
Ve'al ha'likuhot shlakom mebala ta'azor al ketubata.
Which means better to be stam. You know why stam is better? Because sex is an insurance for her. Mm-hmm. Because she'll eat. She'll either eat the money for the ketubah, or she'll eat the money for the mizonot. That's her money. Now she's insuring herself. How? Let's say at the end the estate runs out of money. There's no more property, no more anything. So now she'll say, you know what? I didn't buy what I'm selling this for. She'll take it for mizonot. She'll take the money she told for mizonot. Then she has the right to go to likuhot.
To claim the
ketubah. So therefore she'll get paid both her situations. Continue. But if she said no, this is for the ketubah,
lo tuchal shuv lenitkan lemezonot, v'al lekuhot lo tachzor al mezonoteha. Detnan en motzin lemezon ha'isha, v'banot menechasim v'shabadim.
Which means she cannot go to lekuhot, to the buyers of the field, to claim mezonot. That's a rule. Cloud, remember that rule. You can only go to claim your ketubah. So if she writes ketubah in the shtar, she puts herself at a disadvantage. What's the disadvantage? She puts herself out because now she commits the ketubah. Okay, she eats for the ketubah. And in the chenami, let's say she'll come along to the yetumim and say, I never got paid my mizonot. The burden is on them to bring a proof. I'm not worried about that case. That case is still to our advantage. But the case is going to be where it's disadvantageous. We're going to write in the start explicitly, let's say there's no more properties. So what, the Yitumim come along and say, yeah, we know we owe you the Mizonot, but we have nothing left. We have no metaltalim, we have no real estate. Now what's going to happen? The Yitumim will say, go to the Likuhot. She cannot go to the Likuhot. Once the property is sold, you cannot put a lien on it for Mizonot, because she's going to be out the Mizonot. So how does she solve that dilemma? She writes the shtar stam. She writes a blank. I'm selling these properties of my husband for the money. Now, what will she do with the money? Whatever she wants to do with the money. Now, let her spend it for mizonot, let's say, hypothetically. And now what's going to happen? The estate runs out of money. She has no problem. She's still protected. Why? She can go to the likuhot now and collect her ketubah. So that's the way Rabbi Yosef wants it. So then we see what? Indeed, this is makhluk di Rabbi Yudan, Rabbi Yosef. Who's the hazakah on? Who's the one that's considered the mahazik? Is it the Yitumim or is it the Almana? Good, so we have a machloket. Tanaim. Comes the Gemara and says, Mimai, who told you to learn the machloket like that? How do you know to learn the machloket like that? Dilma de kula alman, nixi, bihaskat almana kani. Maybe I'll tell you, everybody holds really the almana considered our money. Vali Yitumim, the Havi, the Ayah. And really, Yitumim have to bring the Ayah. So if the Yitumim have to bring the Ayah, why did the Bios Yuda say that you have to write the Shtar explicitly? The Kaura, even if she writes the shtar a blank, she still will get paid because the Yitumim cannot come along and say, we paid you the mizonot. So I say no. The Rabbi Yehuda, Eitzah Tova, Kamashmana, Delo Likre La Ra'avtanuta. Which means, right, maybe the Rabbi Yehuda is just giving her Eitzah Tova. Which means, the Rabbi Yehuda is just giving good advice. You know what, writing the ketubah exactly what you're buying, what you're selling the properties for, so you don't get the reputation that you look like you're a Ra'avtan. Ra'avtan is like somebody that's hungry or somebody that's greedy. Yeah. Now, why would you get that impression that she's greedy? Look at Rashi. Delo Likre La Ra'avtanuta, Haro'esh Shemocher Kol Karka'ot Elu. You see, she's selling all these properties over here. Savu Shemochatan Lemezonot. So look at how much does lady eat? How much does she eat? She won't get married again.
Right.
Nobody's
going
to marry her. So therefore, you say, you know what? Just for your own reputation, people don't know what you're selling this to your late husband's property for. Right. Then she just sell the everything. Wow, she eats a lot, this lady over here. No. She's right in the start. This was the ketubah. This is mizonot. So therefore, at least she doesn't have a bad reputation. But the Rabbi Yehuda's not worried about that if she's not going to be explicit, the Yitumim can come along and say,
no.
We paid you. No, not worried about that. Because if they say we paid you, They have to bring the raya because the Yitomim really own the money, and therefore the only reason I'm telling you to write it, it's not to like Kamashmalan. So comes the Gemara says the Ilo Temahai. If you're not going to go with that logic, then I'm telling you it's only Arzatova. Had the Ba'ir Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan had another question. Rabbi Yochanan's question was what? The same question: is the burden of proof on the Yitomim, or is the burden of proof on the Almana Tefshut leMatnitin? What are you talking? Why don't you bring us just a... Why didn't Yohanan bring a simple da'aya from our Mishnah? Why? What did our Mishnah say? Mocheret limzonot shelo bebeddin. Which means a lady is allowed to sell, let's say, the property for the mizonot. For the mizonot. We don't even need consent of the beti. Because normally, when you're selling the property of the late husband, you got to go to the beti to say, listen, I want to sell the property. For mizonot, she got to eat now. She has no time to go to the beti to make all this documents and things. So she's able to sell for the mizonot her late husband's property. And she writes, Elu limzonot makarti. She writes clearly, this I'm selling for my mizonot. Oh, so what do you mean? Right there. From the fact that you see in the Mishnah that it says you got to be explicit, you got to write for mizonot. Why didn't you bring a proof? Why is she writing this for mizonot? Because the Yitomim are going to come along and say, I paid you, and therefore the burden of proof is going to be on her, and therefore to be explicit, so she doesn't get claimed by the Yitomim, that's what she has to write. Elu mizonot. Makarti. So why don't you bring a raya from our Mishnah? It's always Biferush. Which means our Mishnah... We didn't learn this Mishnah yet. Don't get nervous. This Mishnah says that what? That you, when you're selling the properties for the mizonot, you don't get Esbeti's permission. But what? You're right. Elu le mizonot makarti. So what does that prove to you? Why would she have to write what she's selling the properties for? Because the Yitunim are going to come along and say, hey, we paid you already. We paid you already. Once you're going to come along and say, we paid you already, so now she's going to have to bring a night. So when you pay me already? Yeah, that money you got over here that you sold for, that's already... she'll say, I took it for the ketubah. She'll say, this money I sold for the ketubah. If she didn't write it explicitly. She'll say, I took this money for the ketubah. So therefore, you owe me the mezonot. Mezonot, we paid you already the mezonot before that, with metaltani, whatever it is. So therefore, you see, from the write it down in the shtar. So you see, who's the hazakah on hazakahs on the Yitomim? How come Rabbi Yochanan didn't bring a ra'ayah from our Mishnah? Should I tell you why I didn't bring it? Ela mematnitin, leka lemishmah minit, di'achatova kamashmahalan. Ha'aname, you have to say, because our Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan, so that was just good advice. Right, it's the mizonot, so people don't think you're a glutton.
In the Mishnah, was
right, the right. You have to say that the braita, that machloket, that the biyuda was just telling you etzat tova. Because if you don't say etzat tova, you could have a bifurush ra'ayah from our right. Mishnah. How come we're going to bring a ra'ayah from our Mishnah? Because the Mishnah advice. Also is giving you good advice. Look at that. She, v'yidot temach, he detamad the biyuda lav mishum nichse chazkat yetomehu. Right, if you're not going to say that, the reason of the biyuda. It's not because the nechassim are bechazkat yetomim. I'll tell you, you can hold the nechassim are bechazkat almana. And why did he tell you to do that? For Isat Tovah. Ha, the Ba'ir of Yohanan al-Mi la-Vi ra'ya, nehi de matnita de flutah de biyudah v'rabi yoseh lo shami'aleh, matnitin miya shami'aleh. You couldn't bring a ra'ya from the Braita, but bring a ra'ya from our Mishnah, shamishnah nishti tavid v'beta midrash. Which means, Rabbi Yohanan might not have known the Braita, right? Because Rabbi Yohanan asked the question. So okay, he might not have known the Braita, machlok between the biyudah and the biyoseh. That's fine. You don't have to know every Braita. But the Mishnah, he should have known. They know every single Braita in Mishnah, because the Mishnayot are constantly repeated in the Beit HaMidrash. It's very important that she's telling you that whenever these rabbis ask questions, you have to assume they knew the Mishnah. So if they didn't bring a raya from the Mishnah, there's a reason. Ela why they bring Tefshol Mematnitin. Da'al almana lavi raya, the matnitin namit matzlecha lefirushik lebi Yehuda. Ela de'atza tova, kamashwana de'lo lekru le laftanuta. So we don't want it to be called a laftanuta. Comes the Gemara and says another answer. Iname. Right, we'll give another answer. We're going the other way now. Here I can tell you the machlok to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yoseh. Everybody holds that the nechassim belong to the Yitomim. Also, if they belong to the Yitomim, so the Gemara says, behind Utamad Rabbi Yoseh. So then what's the reason for Rabbi Yoseh that he says you could just write it blank? If you're writing it blank, she's putting herself at a disadvantage. So Gemara says, "Kida abaye kashisha." Rabban abaye kashisha. Mashal the Rabbi Yoseh, the logic of Rabbi Yoseh, lema adavar dome. What is it analogous? Which is Rabbi Yoseh's logic, right? He said, "I understand the Tobim have the advantage, which means the burden of proof is on the almana. It's on the almana. Oh, so it's on the almana. What are you writing a blank shtar for? So I'll give you an analogy, what he's trying to accomplish, Rabbi Yosef, by just writing a blank shtar. What's the analogy? So it says, L'shchid mera she'amar tenu matayim zuz lefloni bal chobi. A guy's on his deathbed, right? He's a shchid mera. So what does he say? He says to his, his family that's next to him, do me a favor, I want you to give 200 zuz to this guy, Baal Chovi, to his creditor. Now I owe him $200, give him 200 zuz. Now what happens? Ratza b'chobo notlan, ratza b'matanah notlan. Now this creditor has options. He can either take it for his loan, or he could say, listen, I'm taking this as a gift. And what?
You still owe me
the 200 zuz for the chov. That's it. Let's read the bottom of the sheet for a second. Iname de chula alma hechadam yitomim netananu ala almana la viraya. Really, I'll tell you the burden of proof is on the almana. Still writing a blank document when she's selling the husband's estate is better. We're going to see now from Abaye Kishisa. So comes the Gemara and says, "Im b'matana notlan." Now, if the creditor wants to take the money as a gift, he could do that as well. Lo kach yafeh koho. Wouldn't it be better in this case over here, to write it blank? Which is based on what I just told you. Isn't it advantageous for her when she's selling the late husband's property to write it blank? And what's the analogy and what's the Gemara saying over here? So look at the top of the sheet. Im natlan b'matana lo kach koho yafeh. Which means the guy can still take. In the case of the Shechid Mera, he'll be able to now go to Likuchot. Because a Chov, let's analyze, on a debt, you can go to Likuchot, you can go to properties that were sold. So it's advantageous for him to come along and say, listen, you're giving me this 200? Thank you very much. I'll take this as a matana. Now, once I got this matana, you owe me 200. Why is it better for me to claim the matana and keep the hob outstanding? Because the hob I can go take the lick from the kohot. Because now I can go and say, hey, you sold the field over there. There's a lien on that field. Pay me. See, if he says it's for the hob, you can't go claim a matana. Right, so therefore, it's better. Let him claim matan. Thank you for the 200. And now I'm gonna go take the 200 from the lekuchot. Rashi, alahov velo yuchal litrof ala matana. He can't go collect on a matana. There's no chov on a matana. Good. Once you have the analogy, now let's go apply it to the case of the ketubah. Avzu. So to this lady over here. Ala mizonot lo tuchal litrof lekuchot. As we learned. Mezonot, she cannot go to the kuchot. Va'ala ketubah titrof otam. Good. So therefore, it's advantageous for her to keep the shtar blank. Why? Let her eat. Let her eat that money. And let her be pending what she's eating it for, so to speak. Which means, let her eat it, and then she'll notice at the end that what? There's no more properties here. There's no more anything. So she said, you know what? This is for mezonot that I ate over here. And now she'll be able to use the shtar to go get ketubah. The money for the ketubah. And the reason why she's able to do that because she left the shtar blank. Now, the imipnei yitumim shelo yimru akol lichtuba machav and itkabla ketubatech. But now we have a question, because you're telling me what the advantage is on the yitumim, and the burden of proof is on the almana. Hey, this blank shtar is to her disadvantage. You know why? Because they'll come along and say, hey, all that money you ate was for your ketubah, and therefore we paid you the mizunot already. Now she's stuck. Because the burden of proof is on her. How is she going to protect herself on a blank shtar from that situation? I understand that she protects herself that she can take it from likuhot. But she's still vulnerable in a situation where the yitomim are going to come along and say, hey, you use that money over there for the ketubah. And or she'll say, I use this money for the ketubah, please pay me mezonot. We paid you mezonot already. You paid me mezonot already? Now the burden of proof is on her. She cannot prove it from a star. So how does she protect herself in that situation? So that she says, Yechola hi la'amid edim. She yiru etam nimkar lemezonot. She could protect herself like this. Let her sell the, don't write it in the star, but let her sell the properties in front of witnesses. And you tell the witnesses, I'm selling this over here for mezonot. So now it's grabbing. Yabo v'ya'idu, which means, if in this case over here, now the witnesses are at their advantage. Let her bring the witnesses and come along and say, no, they sold it for them as long. What is he going to say? The husband, the Yatomim going to come along and say, hey, you sold that thing for the ketubah, so you ate your ketubah already, and mizonot is, you know, mizonot you got, we paid you already. So now what? He'll come along and say, no. I have witnesses over here that saw me when I sold this over here. I sold it for the mizonot, and therefore she'll still have a right to take her ketubah from the lekuhot. Veta nimka lekuhot lo todiyah mepnei lekuhot, which means she's not gonna want to show this to the lekuhot, because if she shows this to the lekuhot that she bought it for the ketubah, so then she loses lekuhot. So she has to keep everything blank. It's disadvantageous for her to show if she bought it for ketubah, because if she shows she bought it for ketubah, she cannot go to lekuhot now.
That's
good. If she's going to show that she got it for ketubah, I said if she shows ketubah, it's advantageous for the lekuhot, because they're going to come and say, oh, you bought for the lekuhot, you bought ketubah, you sold this property for the ketubah, you sold it for the ketubah, so you got the paid already. But if you tell me that the yitomim have the advantage and she has to burden the proof is on her, so if she's selling it stam, they're going to come along and say, she's going to come along and say, oh, I sold it for the ketubah. Sold it for ketubah. They're going to come along and say, and we paid you mizonot already. We paid you the mizonot. You're done.
But the money's in the kohen, so she can't even...
No. She sold the property. She took money. She sold the property. She took the money. The yitomim are going to come along and say, we sold you. You took that money. You got paid the... She's going to say, I took this for my ketubah. Pay me my mizonot, please. They're going to come along and say, mizonot? We paid you the mizonot. And the burden of proof is really on her, because we say that while according to all the shittot, now the burden of proof is on the lady. Oh, so then how is it advantageous to keep the shtar blank? So the Yosef will say, you'll have two witnesses. Have two witnesses at the time that you sold it.
You can bring them.
And at the time that you sold it, the two witnesses will see that you sold it l'shem mizonot. So once already you have those two witnesses, in the event that the husband wants to come along and say, want to come along and claim that they paid that this money over here was paid, you'll bring the two witnesses over here that saw you sold it for mizorot. Let's read that in Nashi one more time, please. Top Nashi. Start from the zoo. Avzu, second line. Avzu, meaning the almana. Al mizorot, or tukha letrof, lekuhot. Well, she cannot collect from the lekuhot. Ve'ala ketubah, tetrof otam. Good, therefore keep the shtar blank. Ve'im ipnei yitum shlo yimnu, hakol lektubah machar. They're going to come along and say, no, everything was for the ketubah. And you got paid already your ketubah, which means she can show that what was sold was for mizonot, and therefore she didn't get paid really fully her ketubah yet. No, so let him bring the ayah, which means the guy wants to get off paying mizonot, but you got paid everything, you got paid your full ketubah, everything you took from the sale. You took the ketubah, we paid you mizonot. So the way we get her out of it is, let her come along and bring edim, that the edim are really telling her that it was sold for the for mizonot. And the part of the sale that she used for the ketubah, she's not going to write that in the shtar either, because then she's going to be, it's going to be disadvantageous stuff for the lekuhot. If you want to read this inside, let's read number 2 in the note. Look at the second paragraph. Now, it would seem that although she benefits vis-a-vis the purchases, she's in a weak position vis-a-vis the orphans. For the Gemara now maintains that Yosef agrees that the orphans are considered the legal possessor of the estate. Thus, if the sales are left unspecified, the heirs can claim that all of them were made for the ketubah.
Correct.
Therefore, she's not going to get any more mizonot. This is the concern that persuades the Biuda to advise the widow to specify. Right, that's why the Biuda says, write everything clear.
Right.
This concern, however, does not bother the Biuda, since the widow can protect herself by having witnesses present that she sells the property for sustenance. That is, although the document will not specify the purpose, the document itself she will arrange for witnesses to be informed that the sale is for sustenance. Hence, should the orphans claim that the sale was for the ketubah, the witnesses will refute them. At the same time, the widow should leave the sale of the ketubah completely unspecified, so that in any future dispute with purchases, she'll be able to take the money for ketubah. Because if she writes that she sold the ketubah, she will not be able to go to the lekuhot. That is the ketubah. She will not lose her right for two sustenance, for these payments could constitute only partial payment of the ketubah, which does not make her ineligible to receive sustenance. Thus, according to this Gemara, when the Musa states that the sale should be unspecified, he means that when she sells for sustenance, which means the case is Torah, when she's selling really for mizonot, when she's selling for mizonot, don't let her write in the document what she's saying. She should prepare witnesses who know the sale was for sustenance, and when she sells for a ketubah, she should sell without any specification at all. Just review one more time the sevara of Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says, everybody holds. Yitomim have the advantage, and the burden of proof is on the almana. So I understand Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, since the burden of proof is on the almana, when she's selling properties, she better write it specifically exactly what she's selling it for, in order that the Yitomim don't come along and say, we paid you, you took that money for ketubah, and Bezonot, we paid you, now the burden of proof is going to be on her, so she can come along and say, no, I have the documents to say exactly what I sold it for. I sold it for Bezonot, and therefore, you cannot claim that that you didn't pay me the Mezonot and all that. Good. However, according to Yosef, he also says the burden of proof is on the Yitomim. I'm sorry, on the Almana. So why would he say, when she's selling documents, leave it blank, leave it stamped? So that if she wants to come along and say like this, in a case where, let's say, she's indeed selling it for Mezonot, that's her intent to sell it for Mezonot, it's her advantage to leave it blank. Why? Because what's going to happen, the Yitomim are going to come along and they're going to say, listen, you took this all for your ketubah. She'll protect herself from that. She'll bring two witnesses. And speak it out. And if they say this was for the ketubah, and regarding the mizonot, we paid you. And the burden of proof is on her. Now she's at a disadvantage. So we come along and say, you know what? Don't write anything. By not writing anything, well, number one, you're protecting yourself legabei lekuhot, which means, in the event that the Yitomim's estate runs out and depletes totally, you can use this for mizonot and then go to the lekuhot and take the ketubah. Just like the mashal that was brought by the shechivmera. That what? Let him take the 200 from Matana, and then he still has open to take the 200 from the lekuhot. That part we understand. But when he comes along, when the Yitomim are going to come along and say, what are you talking about? We paid you. You took all that money for ketubah. She's protected as well. How is she protected? Because she'll bring two witnesses that come along and say, no, it was for mizonot. But the only question is, what is she going to lose by writing it? But she'd let her write, this I sold for mizonot. What's that? Ketubah is protected. She can still go to the likuhot. The husband still has to pay the ketubah, and she got her mizonot, so she got everything. She got her mizonot from the estate, she'll get the ketubah from the likot, or from the husband. What could be a problem with this? So the mefarshim, she wanted to learn in that she, that the problem could come out in the event where she's going to say that this document, this stamp document, is for mizonot. So then, the other documents that she had stamped...
It's not stamped. This document is written.
If this document, I'm sorry, was written, mizonot, that means all the other stamped documents must be ketubah. Because when it's mizonot, she writes it, what she sold it for. So the stamped documents must be for ketubah. Now the husband come along and say, I'm even. You got everything. You got your mizonot, as written in the shtar, as per shtar, and as per the other stamped shtarot that are floating around, you got your ketubah, and I'll see you later. By unspecifying, so she comes along and protects herself, that she could just say everything was mezonot over here, and I didn't get paid my ketubanya, and you see all the stuff are blank, and therefore she doesn't commit to a certain writing what it is, so it's going to incriminate the other starot. Now that's what she's selling it for, mezonot, but what she's selling it for the ketubah, when that's a really intent, she shouldn't even bring witnesses, because what she's selling for the ketubah, in the event where, let's say, things go bad and the estate runs out, we don't want anybody to come along and say this was ketubah, because then she's at a disadvantage for likuhot. So therefore, once she's selling for ketubah, let it be unspecified everywhere, in the shtar and with no witnesses. But when she's selling for mizonot, let it be unspecified in the shtar, but let her have two witnesses just back up, just in case the guy comes along and says to you, say, hey, everything was for the ketubah, and we paid you the mizonot. So come along and say, no, I got two witnesses over here that it was for mizonot, and then for the ketubah, it starts to be saved.